turn in them, please, to Psalm 99. Psalm 99. We'll read and study all nine verses. Hear now the word of the Lord. The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity, and you have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God, worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them. In the pillar of the cloud he spoke to them. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. O Lord, our God, you answered them. You are a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. And our holy God, we ask now that you would bless the preaching and the teaching, the reading and the hearing of your word. By your Spirit, grant me the words that I need to speak and to preach. By your Holy Spirit, grant your people eyes to see and ears to hear. May we go forward today as people who are changed, who are transformed by your living word. Indeed, we pray again, make us holy as you are holy. Amen. Now, last week, I asked the question, what is glory? And what does it mean to glorify God? Those are some of those common themes that we so often use in those common themes about which we so often speak in Christian circles. Glory, as we found out, and in glorifying God is really nothing more than making him known. God has all glory in and of himself. He has all majesty and power. But to glorify God, at least from our perspective, is to make him known, to tell others about him, to tell others about his mighty deeds, is to tell ourselves about who he is, to read his word, to pray, and to take joy in that. This week we come to another theme that's often used in Christian circles, or often about which we often speak, holiness. What is holiness? And what does it mean that God is holy? Well, in the biblical sense, holiness really means this. Just keep this in your mind. It's just as glorifying God is making him known. Holiness is actually being set apart. That's probably the simplest definition. And it's the easiest one. And it actually, instead of narrowing the focus, it expands the definition quite a bit. It's being set apart. Usually for a specific purpose. But being set apart is the core meaning of holiness. And so when we say that our God is holy, we mean that he is separate. He's set apart. He's different. He's unlike anything else. Even think about the name that by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. What was it? When the people of Israel asked, who sent you, you shall say, who sent you? What was the name that he gave? I am. I am that I am. It's a pretty simple name, but it. I am. Think about it in terms of us. We say, I am this or I am that. We limit. I am a man. I am a woman. I am a father. I am a mother. I am a husband. I'm a wife. I'm a student, I'm a this, I'm a this, I'm a this. We define it so narrowly. God says, I am. And when God reveals himself, he tells us, I am this, I am this, I am this. But instead of narrowing Instead of putting God in a box, or instead of narrowing the focus or the idea about who he is, it blows all preconceived notions out of the water. And it's the same thing when we say that he is holy. I'll remind you again that these Psalms 93 through 100 are Psalms about worshiping the great King. The great and glorious King, the Lord or Yahweh. And it's in this worship that we learn more about who he is. And we've seen others focus on glory. We see others focus on various characteristics. Here, the main focus, as you saw, holy is he, holy is he. And then at the very end, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. The main theme of this psalm, and by God's grace, this is what I want you to learn today. It's, again, very simple, but very profound. We must worship the Lord our God as holy, because he is. Or to flip that around, this is perhaps a better way to say it. The Lord our God is holy, so we must worship him as such. I'll break this down into three headings where the Lord's holiness is taught to us or is revealed to us here in this psalm. The Lord's holiness displayed by his sovereignty. The Lord's holiness displayed by his righteousness. And the Lord's holiness displayed in his relation to his people. So his sovereignty, his righteousness, and his relation to his people. First, the Lord's holiness displayed in his or by his sovereignty. The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. God is set apart because he's the creator. He is not in any way dependent upon or tied to, at least in terms of his existence, he's not in any way tied to the creation. He's not, and Israel fell into this sin, he's not the particular possession of any one people. He is God over all peoples. No matter who they are, no matter where they came from, he is the creator who spoke all things into being. He is holy because he is set apart entirely from his creation. One day I hope to go through this. One of my favorite diagrams that I learned in seminary in apologetics was actually, it's called the creator-creature diagram, and it's two circles. And it's very basic, but it completely transforms your understanding of how God is entirely distinct from everything else. He is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. Think about everything that you know in this world. Is it infinite? Is it eternal? Is it unchangeable? No, it's the exact opposite. It's finite. It's captured, or it's restricted to time, and it changes. God is set apart. He's not like anything in this world. Why do you think he gave the commandment, you shall not make unto yourself any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above or the earth beneath or the waters below? Why did he say don't do that? Because he's not like any of those things. Now, it's not just the idolatry of the ancient world where that comes into play, but so often it's for us as people as well. For us even today as well, that we don't make idols, but we do try to do one thing in particular. We try to put God in a box. We try to wrap our minds around who God is, and we try to manipulate him and mold him and shape him into the God that we want him to be. As soon as we do that, we're violating the truth of God's holiness, and we're sinning against him. We can't wrap our minds around who he is. We can't restrict him to a certain pattern of actions. We can't restrict him to be loving and merciful and gracious when we want him to be. Or loving and merciful and gracious to us, but righteous and holy and just and vengeful upon others. So often, the gods of this world, especially in the ancient world, you think about the idols, and most of you have probably studied Greek mythology at some point. The polytheistic religions where they had so many different gods, and all of those gods, if you think back, they had human characteristics, and they controlled forces of nature. They weren't holy. They were tied to natural forces. They were just as wicked as most of men and women. Those weren't holy gods. That's why the psalmist says here, the Lord, Yahweh, is holy. He's set apart from all creation. He's different. He's separate. He exists in and of himself. And he rules and reigns over all things. So he's holy because of his sovereignty. He's also holy because of his righteousness. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Now this is our usual definition of holiness. When you say something is holy, you usually think it's good or it's pure or it's righteous. And here you see that it is, that holiness is tied to moral purity, moral righteousness. A holy person is a person who is set apart. Why? Or acts differently. Why? Or not why, but how? In actions. A holy person is a person who is pure in what they do or in what he or she does. But even the most quote-unquote holy person in this world, if you think about perhaps so many saints that have lived throughout the ages, people that led these godly lives and did all of these things to help others and did all of these things to seek after the Lord, perhaps you think even of the apostles and all that they did, the apostle Paul, and all that he did with his church building, with his ministering, with his evangelizing. Certainly Paul grew in his holiness as he progressed throughout his life, but what did he say in his epistles? Or what theme did he bring up again and again? He stated it clearly to Timothy, but what did he say again and again? Indeed, I am the chief of sinners. I am increasing, I am growing in holiness, but I am by no means fully righteous and fully holy. But God is. It's very apparent as we look at the history of the world, as we look at governments, as we look at rulers, as we look at influential people, as we look at all of these people that might seem to have it all together. They don't truly love justice as they should. They don't truly establish equity. They don't execute justice. They don't execute righteousness. At least not perfectly. Take the greatest of the Old Testament saints. And though they did many great things and they sought after the Lord, they didn't do these things perfectly. They weren't fully and truly holy. They weren't completely set apart from the rest of the world, being untouched by sin. But God is. And nowhere was this seen more clearly than in the Lord Jesus Christ. To say that he was sinless is to say that he was holy. That he was set apart from all the rest of mankind as the only spotless lamb. The only lamb without blemish who could pay for the sins of the world. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ where God cast his judgment upon sin, or he poured out his wrath upon the Lord Jesus. He executed justice and righteousness to show his holiness. So Psalmist says, exalt the Lord our God, worship at his footstool. Holy is he. It's a reminder to us that if our God is holy, if he is spotless and pure, without blemish, without sin, in no way touched by sin. And I try to mention this as we go through our order of service each week when we get to our confession of sin. Why do we do that? Because we're in the presence of a holy God. You might come in thinking, hey, I've had a pretty good week. I really have not committed too many sins. Things have been going well. I was nice to my family. Paid my tithe this week. Paid my offerings. I listened to some good music. I prayed every day. I read my Bible every day. You come in feeling pretty good about yourself. But as soon as you step into worship, you should be reminded that no matter how well you think your week might have gone, you are not holy as God is holy. At least not yet. And that confession of sin is meant to remind you that there is no other righteous, there is no one in this world who is fully righteous as our God is righteous. That's why the psalmist says, let the peoples tremble. Not only those peoples, but us as well. Let us tremble. We're in the presence of a holy God, a consuming fire. God's holiness is displayed in his sovereignty. It's displayed by his righteousness. But his holiness is also displayed in his relationship to his people. Verse 6, Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was also among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them. In the pillar of the cloud he spoke to them. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. Here what you're seeing is actually the intermediaries between God's people and God. If you'll remember, it was always necessary to have someone standing between God and man. Do you remember at Mount Sinai, what did God say to Moses? And what did Moses tell to Joshua about the mountain? Do not let anyone touch this mountain, or that person will die. Sinful man cannot stand to be in the presence of a holy God. And so there was a mediator, someone standing between God and man. And Moses was one, Aaron was one as a priest, Samuel was one, and David was one. There were many others. Because sinful man could not bear to stand in God's presence, to hear his word spoken. In fact, if you'll remember as well, when God gave the law to Moses, and what did the people hear? They heard the thundering, and they were literally scared to death. They said, Moses, you go listen to him. We can't even hear his voice. We can't bear to be near him because we'll die if we do. And so these mediators stood between God and man. They gave man at least partial access to the Lord. The Lord gave to Moses and Samuel and Aaron, to these men, what they needed to tell the people. And Moses and Samuel and Aaron and others told the people. And so it was throughout the Old Testament that God called out of his people specific instruments for his purposes to tell his word to his people. In the pillar of cloud, he spoke to them. They kept his testimonies and statute that he gave him. But also look at verse 8. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. God loved his people enough to send those mediators, those intermediaries, to give his word to the people. God loved his people enough to forgive them time and time again. God loved his people to bring them out of slavery. God loved his people enough to preserve them and keep them. But lest we forget that he's a holy God, look at the end of verse 8 again. You were a forgiving God to them, but what? An avenger of their wrongdoings. You see, when the people started to forget who God truly is, he had to give them a reminder. When the people started to go the ways of the world, when they fell into idolatry like the other nations, when they started to treat God like he was just another god alongside Baal or Molech or so many of the others. God showed to them his holiness, his righteousness, and his justice. Lest they took him lightly, he made sure that they did not take him lightly. He reminded them through discipline that he is a holy God, set apart from all the other gods, set apart from all other things. And that's really why he said to his people in Leviticus chapter 19, you shall be what? Holy, even as I am holy. God said, because I'm different, you as my people must be different as well. You see, because of the Israelites' relationship to God, who was the only true God, the holy God, God said to them, you must be like me. They were to show other people in the world who their holy God was through their actions. God's holiness displayed by his sovereignty, by his righteousness, and his relation to his people. But where is the holiness of God on its greatest and fullest display? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the name Christ, what does it mean? The anointed one. What was the point of anointing someone? To set that person apart. When we say in the name of Christ, in the name of the anointed one, the holy one, the one who is set apart from all humanity as unique, the one who is both God and man, the one who lived a perfect, sinless life, the one who was the incarnate, or not who was, but who is the incarnate Word of God, the one who took upon himself the wrath of God against sin, the one who took upon himself the sins of the world, the one who willingly laid down his life. Nowhere more clearly do we see the holiness of God than in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died, but also what else? He rose again. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He is the King, the crowned King over all creation now. At the beginning, what did it say? The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. Jesus Christ reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. If you remember the cherubim on the mercy seat of the ark, it was considered God's throne on earth. It was considered God's footstool on the earth, the symbol of his reign. What's the symbol of his reign now? It's the resurrected Lord Jesus seated at his right hand, ruling, reigning, conquering. Brothers and sisters, our God is indeed holy and set apart from all others. And if you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, he's holy in his sovereignty. No one rules as he does. No one is as righteous as he is. Though we are being made righteous as he is righteous, he was the first, the Savior from sin. And it's because of him that we don't need intermediaries like Moses and Aaron and Samuel anymore. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood that covers us that we can walk directly into God's throne of grace, though we can't see it with our eyes, we can't feel it with our hands, at least physically. We know by faith that even now we stand before this holy God and he says, you're welcome here. It's because of Jesus Christ that we can go to this God who is wholly set apart, and he says to you, welcome son, welcome daughter. You are loved. The Lord our God is holy. Let us exalt him. Let us praise him. Let us worship him. But let us never take him lightly. Let us never put him in a box. Let us never treat him like he is something that we can experience in this world. Let us remember that he is the self-existent one, the unchanging one, the infinite and eternal one, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is worthy of our praise. Amen. Let's close in prayer before we sing our song of response. Our God in heaven, how do we even begin to capture that you are holy, that you are righteous, that you are good? How can we even begin to wrap our minds around these concepts? We don't know. But let us seek to do it. Let us seek to understand more about who you are. Let us not treat you as something that we can, as someone that we can put in a box, someone that we can control, someone that we can manipulate, someone that's like anything else we've ever experienced, but let us worship you and love you and serve you and honor you for who you are, or in the way that you have called us to do, because you are who you are and there is no other like you. We thank you that you are the holy God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.